in front of you.
That's fine.
If you want in the middle, you can stop, you know.
So let's get started.
Okay.
Let's get your full name.
Oh, Judith Gingold.
Do you go by Judith or Judy?
Judy.
Okay, great. So for me, you can let me know if you want me to stop or do something different. How does that sound?
Fine. I just can't imagine what, after all this time.
I can get you started. What I've been thinking about is the strike. Difference between what it was like when you first got to Newsweek and after you and your gal pals took over the world and it got hotter, but everything got better. Why don't you just start by telling us how you got to Newsweek, where you've been, and we'll see where that leads. School in England, and came back to this country and got a job. You remember the job you got?
It was an errand girl.
Isn't that something? Where had you been to school preparing you for an errand girl's job?
Oh, a small provincial university.
Identify it, please. I was thinking of Oxford. Would that ring a bell for you?
That would definitely ring a bell.
There you were at Oxford. Just noodling through a little philosophy, and after you graduated, came to New York, and what?
And started looking for a job, and discovered that it was impossible to find one that held any interest whatsoever, that you could be a secretary and or a typist.
Yes. What a world. And, as I remember, you didn't care for either of those options.
Well, as you may recall, I'm terrible at both of them.
When you got the job, finally, at Newsweek, this is actually the part that I remember most vividly. The only job that women got was practically, not quite typing and secretarial work, but almost. It was...
Yeah, you were a researcher.
Right, which meant what?
Which meant preparing documents for more important male reporters.
Right.
To deal with. But I've got to tell you that it feels so antique to me to speak about this.
We'll get into the hotter part in a minute. I was trying to help you set the scene. Were there any women who entered at a higher level than that?
Not really.
No.
There are a couple of them. Faye Willey, do you remember?
Oh yeah, Faye Willey. She's an older one. But it's, I guess, at the time, it didn't seem strange that's what you did. Somehow in my sexist head.
Yeah, no, I think it didn't. It was if you could get a job,
right.
sort of named place. That was all.
Yeah, that was certainly new to it. I mean, one famous place. But
does it exist anymore?
No, no, it's pretty much gone. They were doing it online for about a minute and a half, and I think that's fizzled. But you would go in, sit down, and start going over a copy, right?
Yeah.
Did you work at the front or the back of the book?
Mostly in the back of the book, but sometimes in the front of the book.
And who was doing those stories in the back? What kind of people?
Well, male people, but I can't remember.
I can remember a few of them. Jack Kroll.
Oh, yes. Here you're talking. I mean, Jack Kroll was one exalted being at
right.
Newsweek.
Well, maybe let's not talk about the men not so much, but let's talk about the people doing the real work. Did you work closely with Lynn Povich?
Yes, I did.
Shared an office.
I found it fascinating that she said that you got everyone together.
Oh, yes, it was kind of my idea to do it.
I think she referred to it as a click moment you had.
Yes. That the realization that something is utterly unjust and should not be. Is that coffee my coffee?
Yes, it is.
I'll have some. Thank you.
So then there you were, there's the realization, and you all start talking.
Yes, we start chatting in the ladies' room.
Is that where all the big meetings occur?
Well, you wouldn't be bothered by men.
Yeah, I mean, it's not all... It wasn't all the big meetings occurring then, but that did play a part because how could you call a meeting for just women? It was unseemly.
It drew attention to yourself. Where are all the dames? They're all in the bathroom.
Well, I think if I understood correctly, you had to make sure people were in the right camp.
Yes, that was a major thing that does not get the attention it deserves. In that it was, we regarded what we were doing as secret because we wanted to organize enough women to make an activity against the all male, all female categories. He wanted to make it effective. And you couldn't do that if you had three females. So I think eventually we organized about 60 some odd people, and it did go off. I mean, it
truly did. Can I ask if everything you felt unjust was felt before school even, or did it really sink in when you started attending consciousness raising meetings?
No, everything existed before that, and consciousness raising meetings were important. It was important that you felt part of a larger group, and that larger group was female, and you knew that you got the job you were given because you were female, and you sort of held on to it because you were female. So.
And so, where should we take it from here?
When you began it, wasn't the goal equity in the hiring? So that women would do more interesting things than, you know.
Yeah.
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 Was there a time when you sat around and say, I don't care about consciousness raising, I want a better job that pays more and has a future to it?
Oh, well, yes. I mean, people didn't. Consciousness raising was a thing that
it was
named afterwards. I mean,
yeah. What you wanted was real work. You were in a magazine and you were writing.
Yeah. What is the point of doing this story at this point in time?
Well, today, it's not much different. And we still are contending with many issues that mirror what you're talking about in the 70s.
Ah.
So it's relevant today.
Oh, that's good news.
When did the brass figure out what you were doing?
Oh, there was a. It was done in a sort of clunky way by letter to Mrs. Graham.
So they went straight to the owner.
Yeah. Who, as a woman herself. You know, it was thought she'd have. Sorry, I was looking for the. Yeah.
Was it that you thought she'd be sympathetic?
Oh, I think it was a combination of she'd be sympathetic, but also she'd be embarrassed.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Huh. Did you try to stop it?
No, you couldn't. You couldn't do, I mean, at its peak, I think we had about 68 people organized.
It's a big crowd.
So, yes, it would have been difficult to actually discourage the whole thing.
Right. And the part of that that I always sticks in my mind is that you were striking against Mrs. Graham, but also the men who were your immediate superiors and bosses.
Right. Right. And that was hard because there was, you know, lots of love lost.
Yes. They were your friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing they were different, that they were older. Did they get pissed off that this was going on, sort of under their nose?
They may have, but not that I know of. As I would be an odd confidant.
Yes. They were pretty much decent guys.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But how did you get anywhere? Did you absolutely have to strike to get...
Well, what we absolutely had to do was organize enough people so that we had something to threaten, which was that all these people would strike. And that's what we did.
I can't imagine how scary that must have been.
It was scary. It was scary.
It took a lot of nerve. Do you think you were going to lose your jobs?
No, I don't think anybody thought that because there were too many people.
Right.
There were like 68 people or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
By the end of it.
And they were all researchers and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
A lot of researchers.
Yeah. Yes, people remark at the superior accuracy of the magazine in those days.
Well, it was well written, well researched. It was.
It was. But why does this come up now?
Well, we have events going on today where women executives, women leaders of businesses and organizations
mm-hmm.
are getting paid half their male counterparts, and it still happens today.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I don't deny or doubt that for a minute.
So it continues to be challenging, and you'll still see people referring back to the landmark Newsweek case as really this watershed moment.
Oh, well, that's very interesting. Just stick it down somewhere, sorry.
So then we can come to after the case. What happened?
Nothing.
Well, yeah, wait, yeah, I have two cases.
Yeah. So we sued them again. And this time worked out a bit better, but not much. Really.
I think you must have hoped or thought it would, like snapping your fingers, and it would all get better. They said, you're right, this is wrong, we'll correct it.
Yeah, people thought that, but not very long.
Right. And Who was that woman who told you that people don't give up power easily? Little girl or something. Who was that woman? It was the lawyer you hired.
Well,
whoever she was. She was a famous dame at the time. I can't remember her name either. But
this wasn't Florence Kennedy?
No. Florence Kennedy did play a colorful role in it, but God, she must be long gone.
I'm sure, yeah. I'm trying to think of that other one. The one who lectured you, saying the general attitude of the women was, well, these are good people, they've got jobs, we don't want to hurt them. And she said, listen up, little girl. These guys have power, and people don't give up power. Learn that.
Easily, yes.
Always made me laugh. The thing is, those men were, they were your friends. Very hard to sue them.
Yeah. Except there was also such an obvious inequality.
Yeah. I think that woman thought it was a sign of weakness that you would show them any sympathy at all. To just move in and bash them over the head until they promote you.
Well, except people don't get promoted that way. This is, I think one would have happily done that, but.
Didn't they give you tryouts in that one?
Yeah. Oh, yes, there was a whole program to change things.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, the idea that women should be encouraged to have writing tryouts.
Petit Raton. Remember Petit Raton?
Oh, God. Petit Raton.
That was Judy's tryouts article. Something like a mouse. I don't know. There was a mouse in it. It's actually a pretty funny story.
So what you're saying was a male writer could just submit an article, but a woman writer had to try out?
Well, not exactly. I mean, you've got sort of things happening kind of concurrently. It was thought maleness was the order of the day. So if you were a male and wanted to try out as a Newsweek writer, you just went ahead and did so. But if you were a female, it was a more complicated process.
Pieces in the book. Petit Raton and all his little friends.
Oh, no, I don't remember anymore.
Yeah. But that was always the hope. You'd get this golden tryout and your brilliance would become apparent and life would get sweet. Something like that. Didn't happen.
Yeah, it wasn't like that.
So can I ask, once all of your names became public, did you have younger women who would seek you out?
Oh yes. And I mean I think that part of the success of the movement was that men did see what an unfair deal they were offering women and changed what's happening with our friend, trying to remember the name of the reporter now, who's being grilled. Leighton. Maybe I'm just remembering wrong. I thought that there. That there's some Newsweek woman It never was like that. I mean, it's not that the women didn't compete with one another, but it was remarkably fair-minded.
Right. Who was the woman who had the PhD in show business or something, and she's tried to keep it a secret, so that.
Do you mean Faye Willie?
No, it wasn't Faye. No. She was about our age. I can't remember her name. But I always liked that she thought she'd worked hard, got this PhD in something or other. But when it was time to write, which is what she wanted to get.
Oh, thanks.
Her overqualifications stood out. And so nobody gave her any assignments. She was one very unhappy young woman.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We have been going for half an hour. We can take a break.
Sure.